Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor, psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to do an episode solely on the, I would say, the solutions or the things that you can use as a hobby or a passion that maybe you forgot about, but things that could become hobbies. These are all things to help build your self-esteem. So if you're struggling with low self-esteem, which I think a lot of times people who come from abuse do, and we may not know it. We may not know that we're struggling with low self-esteem. We might just say, we might deal with depression, but we might not actually realize there's also some low self-esteem in there. And the term low self-esteem really isn't used a lot. I think, again, it's taboo. I've said that before on here, that I think there's certain things that therapists won't tell you or they won't say to you. They would probably more likely say something like confidence building, but no one's probably going to say to you, I think you're actually struggling with low self-esteem. But I'll say it because I do struggle with it. And I didn't know it until recently, which I've already talked about that. But again, I want to do an episode just on the remedies or possible cures, ways for you to remember certain things that maybe you had forgotten, things that you used to enjoy or care about. And I'm going to specify why certain things might help specifically for people with complex PTSD, and specifically some things for helping with focus. Which I've done in the past, but I'm going to re-say some of them as I read this list. I have a list of about 20 things here. So again, engaging with your passion or your interest or your hobby is so important because it's, you know, if you don't have a hobby or an interest or a passion, it can really suck the joy out of life. So this is hugely important. And you may already be engaging in some things, but I'm just going to list a few. And again, it's just so important to actively engage with them. And if you're around people who don't support your hobby or they belittle it or they make fun of it, those aren't your friends and those people don't care about you. I'll just say that. And I'd also say really quick, and this is a little off topic, but if you ever get into trouble, because I saw this happen with a musician, so you may have seen this in the news. There was a musician, his name is Morgan Wallen, a country singer, and he recently got into trouble, like legal trouble, very serious legal trouble, just this week. And I saw one of his, I don't know if it was a bandmate or someone that goes along with this band or who this guy was. He knows him. He's his supposed friend. But this guy made a comment where he was kind of joking, like making a joke out of the fact that he got into this legal trouble. And my first thought was that's somebody that this Morgan guy needs to get out of his life immediately. This guy is only going to help him get into more trouble. I thought there's no way I would be making light of a friend who just got into legal trouble, like making a crack about it. And I thought, wow. And he put it on social media. This guy put this on social media, and I thought, well, that's probably part of his problem, is he's surrounded by people like that. So if people around you aren't, supporting you or your interests, or especially if they're making fun of it or maybe making jokes about it, like this guy was. This guy was making joke about something he got in trouble for. He did something he shouldn't have done, and he got arrested for it, and this guy was joking about it. So if something like that ever happens to you, immediately get rid of that person in your life if they ever do that. But if people aren't supporting you in your interests or your passions, they don't really care about you. So I'm going to read some passions and interests here. And again, these are things I think it's good to hear somebody mention these things, because I think we can very easily forget, especially if you're in a controlling, abusive relationship. Your partner might actually try to rob you of your passion or your interest. And if you grow up in an abusive home, I think a lot of times our abuser will ridicule or belittle or make you feel stupid, try to make you feel stupid for having an interest or engaging with it. Because if you have an interest or a passion and you're engaging with it, that's a sign that you have self-esteem. It's a sign that you're confident, and abusers don't like that. So I'm going to read this list and then that'll be that. So reading, again, that's my cure for boredom, but you could be in a book club. Just reading in general is a hobby. Education is another one. How do you want to educate? Like, how do you want to be a teacher? But educating people can be a hobby or a passion, an interest. Writing. This is something occasionally I do. I specifically do poetry, although I have written a play. But I would say writing is more of a side thing for me, writing. But writing is very therapeutic, even if you just keep a journal. Career growth is another one. And these are things I found when I Googled this. I Googled several different things related to this. Some of these are indoor activities and some are outdoor activities, by the way. I'm more of an indoor activity type person, aside from maybe walking. But career growth. So career growth, that could be... So example for me would be like doing podcast. I'm thinking of doing a history podcast. But anything to do with your career and growing your career. Community service. Now, this is a little different because community service would be volunteering. And that would be more of, I guess it could be a passion. I don't know if I would call that a hobby. I guess if you're passionate about something, volunteering. I donate occasionally. That's my way of doing volunteering. Fashion. So if your interest or your passion is fashion, that can relate to sketching and drawing, like drawing clothes, clotheswear. Sewing, it could relate to sales. You know, you want to be probably specific, like what kind of clothing do you want to design? Men's clothing, women's clothing, kids, wedding dresses, you know, gowns for, you know, graduation, like a, what do they call it? You know, dances, things like that, prom. Like, what kind of fashion are we talking about here? You're talking about day-to-day fashion. You know, there's all kinds of different fashion, runway fashion. Like, what exactly are we discussing here? Music, playing an instrument. Again, for someone who's maybe more of an indoor person or a solo person, like if you are alone a lot, piano. Piano is a perfect instrument. If I were to play any instrument, it'd probably be the piano because it's always there. You don't have to pull it out of like a closet, like some instruments. It's always just sitting there waiting for you to use it. It's a visual reminder. So also being in a symphony or a quartet, a band is, I think, would be a lot of fun. I don't know an instrument well enough to be in a band, but I think a band is a great way to engage with a passion or a hobby. Photography. And some of these can be a little bit more expensive. An instrument can be expensive. A professional camera can be expensive, but it can be worth it. And photography is a little bit more time consuming, in my opinion, with the lighting. It depends on the lighting and nature. But that can also be a good thing because it engages you in mindfulness, like how to capture the best photo. And there's maybe a little bit more reward in it because it's taking more time. So another hobby or passion is creation or art. So pottery, drawing, painting. I did pottery before, and one thing about it was a little bit harder than I thought it was going to be. You have to like hold your elbows on your knees, and then that's your support system, is your elbows leaning into your knees as your hand is making the pottery, as your hands are making pottery. And my pottery never came out that great, but you know, another thing, it just takes time to get better at it. But drawing, painting, the arts, you know, acting, theater, local theater takes up a lot of time too, by the way. But again, maybe that's makes it more worth it. Going to movies or making movies, if you want to make movies. I actually know a guy, they just filmed a movie in his home, and it's going to be in the Cannes Film Festival. It's called Smile something. smile maker or smile remover or something like that. I think it's like a spooky movie, but they film part of it in this bed and breakfast that this guy owns. It's a historical home. And I just found out it's going to be in the Cannes Film Festival. So I don't know the movie maker. I just know the home that they made the movie in. And I just found out about it this week. So, but making movies or having like a movie club or, you know, a Star Wars club, whatever, if there's certain movies you like, a Quentin Tarantino movie club, I don't know. There's all kinds of movies, a Stephen King movie club, you know. Sports, there's being an athlete and then there's engaging in sports. So I'll get more into engaging in sports, but being an athlete, that alone is very time consuming. But if you love it, then it's perfect. Fitness, being a trainer or just doing yoga, going to the gym, I think is one of the biggest ways that at least people in the United States engage in fitness, is just going to the gym. And exercise alone is really good for focus. So some of these things that are good for focus, exercise, I think playing the piano is a thing that's good for focus. You know, there's certain things I think are really good for focus that I'm going to mention. Food, cooking, baking, brunch. Cooking is a great way to do something therapeutic, and you can do it with people. I always say brunch. Again, this is another focus thing. Brunch is a great way to be mindful because you can cook all different types of things, and it can be a time for you and your friends to just sit and talk. And it's a dedicated time in your calendar, like maybe once a month have a Saturday brunch, and you can have all kinds of unique things, jam jellies, coffee, orange juice, fresh fruits, berries, waffles, pancakes, sausage, eggs. I mean, there's just all kinds of things you can have for a brunch. Omelets. Another one that I've recommended numerous times is camping. So camping, you know, hunting, bird watching, fishing, you can do all these things when you camp. But I would say make sure you prep for this and maybe watch YouTube videos about the supplies you'll need, because you don't want to go unprepared, because that could aggravate you and you don't want to become aggravated. But making a fire, you know, engaging with the earth, is just, there's a lot of great things there. And I think, I don't remember the exact name of it, but I have like a Boy Scouts of America book that really helps if you ever go on camping. It has all the to-dos and what not to do and everything, how to set up a tent, you know, how to set up a campsite the right way, so to avoid bears and things like that. Another one is astronomy. This is one I think a lot of people maybe don't think about, but you could learn as much as you could possibly ever want to learn about astronomy and our solar system or our universe. You know, I know a neighbor who's in a ham radio club, and to me, I always think of astronomy when I think of that, because you can contact astronauts on the International Space Station with a ham radio. But a ham radio is a little bit different, but that's another hobby, ham radio. Martial arts, again, this is good for confidence and discipline and also self-defense. So I think martial arts is a really good one if you want to build your self-esteem. It's almost a very intentional self-esteem builder within the realm of engaging with an interest for self-esteem. So it's like a double positive, because you're engaging with an interest and it's for self-defense, which will build your confidence. The healing arts, I actually work in that field. So aromatherapy, meditation, I do massage therapy, Reiki. So those are three things: Reiki, aromatherapy, and meditation. Those are three things that are great for focus. And also martial arts, a lot of that discipline that really can help with focus. You're learning balance and things like that. Organizing. So this is one I think a lot of people might not think of, but organizing. So organizing your home or doing organizing as a side job, this can really help with focus. So if you struggle with feeling distracted all the time, if you can organize your home and put certain things in certain places, like I have a drawer and the only thing in that drawer is different types of tape and different types of batteries, and that's in my kitchen. And then I have a shelf that's like a handyman shelf with all my hammers, measuring tape, screwdrivers. It's all together where I can find it, my adapters. And then other shelves are labeled. So, you know, skincare product, ear, nose, and throat. I have a whole shelf for that. And, you know, everything is right where I know it's going to be. My flashlights are on my handyman shelf. So I know where it's going to be if I need it, and it's all organized. My paperwork, so for keeping my bills organized and different paperwork, I use those accordion folders, those file folders that you can carry around, and they're alphabetical. If I didn't have those, I would be massively disorganized. So organizing is very important if you deal with stress, because stress, I think, affects our focus. So another hobby, passion, could be sewing, quilting, needle arts, crafts. And I put origami in this because I consider that kind of a craft in a way. Origami is Japanese paper folding to make little figurines. I have a sibling that used to do this, and she actually would make origami flowers, and she would make them look like a bouquet of flowers, and she would sell them for like $12 or something. I don't know. She did it when we were kids. Coin collecting is something I used to do as a kid. And coin collecting is still, you know, some of these, again, are indoor hobbies and some are outdoor hobbies. But some of these, sewing, quilts, needles, arts, crafts, origami, that's all indoor hobbies for the most part. Another one, and this is something I think maybe a lot of people don't do, but I think it's kind of neat. Immersing yourself in another culture. So reading about another culture, watching videos, and learning their language, learning about their customs and their history. I remember when I saw a show, I don't ever watch it, but I saw this particular season when it was on. There was a show called 90 Day the Other Way, 90 Day Fiancé the Other Way, where the American person went to the foreign country of the person they were going to marry. And I learned so much. I could not stop watching it because they were in Morocco. Another couple was in Egypt. Another couple was in Colombia. There were two couples in Colombia. One was in Dominican Republic, I think. There were just so many places they were in that you normally would never see. India. And I loved it because it was average kind of working people. And you're getting to really see it. You're not seeing like, you know, elaborate fancy places. You're seeing where common people, like normal everyday people, live their lives, and very cultural. It was so fascinating. Morocco, I found to be the most fascinating out of all of them. Very interesting. For me, it would probably be France. And I say France because I took French classes to study the language when I was in college, and I wrote about the French Revolution a lot. I wrote a lot about French culture. So I think out of any place I'd ever go, it'd be, I'd probably fly into London and just take the tunnel to France, to Paris, and then maybe go up to Scotland. But that would probably be, if I ever went overseas, that's probably what I would do. That's where I would go. Another hobby, interest, passion is team sports. Bowling, soccer, baseball, you know, building your own baseball team with people, cycling, bicycling, tennis, boxing. Out of all of these, I think boxing would be the most fun, but tennis is probably the one I would be more likely to do, or bowling. Again, bowling's an indoor sport. Social activities would be card games, going to movies with people regularly, ballroom dancing, being on a chess club. That's another one that I've recommended for focus because it's a strategy game. And strategy, I think, really helps build your mental focus and to think more into the future. Like you're thinking long term when you play chess. Also puzzles, crossword puzzles, jigsaw, Sudoku. Another one is gardening. Can be very time consuming, but that might be a good thing, and you're engaging with nature. And then my last one was beekeeping. So I just wanted to recommend these. This is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.